You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at pollution in Wisconsin. Our guest is worried about a drop in enforcement of environmental laws.
Right now, it's time for Wisconsin Life. 3 years ago, Kelsey Reagan challenged herself to ride 500 miles from Davenport, Iowa, to Lake Superior. She made it and became intrigued by the idea of seeing how far she could ride if she just didn't stop. Reagan tells us about her path to becoming an ultra cyclist and her quest to set biking records in every state.
I used to be a runner, but I got injured doing that, and so I needed to find a different activity. I really didn't like biking at first. I thought it was all the mechanical things were confusing to me, and it wasn't as simple as running where you just put on your shoes and go. So I really didn't ride a lot. Until I found out about bike touring, where you just load a bunch of camping gear on your bike and start riding and go wherever you feel like going. So that's kind of what got me started into serious biking. I did my first bike tour in the spring of 2012 without any experience, really. Once I was trying to go across the Wisconsin River, and I was using Google Maps to get directions because you can choose the bike direction option and it'll give you roads that are safe for biking. And so I did that, and it told me that I could go across this bridge. And when I got to the bridge, it didn't exist. And the other bridges were quite a ways. I would have to go quite a ways out of my way to get to them. It was towards the end of the day, and I'd already biked like 70 miles and didn't want to add another 30 miles to the ride. I had a place lined up to stay on the other side of the Wisconsin River, so I happened to see these two old men who were fishing along the river, and I asked them, I said, "Hey, would you mind taking me and my bike to the other side?" And they were like, "Yeah, sure." I put my bike in there and hopped in, and they took me to the other side. I guess only in Wisconsin can you hitchhike with a bike on a boat. It's kind of addictive. I started on this bike tour. I started wondering how far I could go if I just didn't stop. And so ever since then, I've been trying to figure that out. I set this goal of setting a record biking across every state. A lot of those records haven't been set by women yet. So it's really exciting to be able to do something that hasn't been done before. I did Iowa last year and Wisconsin this year. So I started on the Illinois-Wisconsin state line. It's where Highway 14 crosses the border. There's a little town called Bigfoot, Illinois, and that's just east of Beloit. And then I ended at Wisconsin's northernmost town in Red Cliff, right on Lake Superior. It's north of Bayfield. It took 22 hours and 4 minutes, and it was 380 miles. And my plan for now is to do one state every year. So by the time I'm 73, I should have them all. I think I'll save the shorter states for last. I really like traveling, and I've always wanted to see all 50 states, so I figured that this would be a good way to do it. No better way to see a state than biking across it.
Kelsey Reagan is an ultra cycler based in Mineral Point. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. More info at wisconsinlife.org. There's been a major drop in fines for pollution in Wisconsin, according to information released by the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. According to the numbers leaked from a state source, fines for pollution dropped by about 80% last year to the lowest level in at least a decade.
Governor Walker and state officials have said the reduction in fines is part of an effort to work with potential polluters to fix problems before they require enforcement. But our next guest is worried that the Department of Justice and the DNR may not be doing enough to enforce state law.
George Meyer joins us now. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. He was the DNR secretary under Governor Tommy Thompson. George, welcome to the show.
Glad to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
So what kinds of violations would be included in these pollution fines we're talking about?
Well, these are all, and I want to emphasize, these are the major violations in these categories. Literally, there's probably thousands of more minor violations across the state every year, but about 60 cases out of thousands have been referred to the Department of Justice to get penalties and cleanup. But the kinds of things are animal waste coming off of farms in the streams, air pollution violations, hazardous waste violations, solid waste violations, and then violations from treatment plants at municipal and industrial sources make up most of them.
You've described this as a dramatic drop in enforcement. What do you worry about when you see numbers like this?
Well, there's two things that happen. And just so your listeners remember, we're not talking about minor things. These are major penalty cases that often by themselves would be $50,000, $60,000 type forfeitures or fines. And when you do not enforce on major violations after they occur, you need to have enforcement of those because it provides deterrence to others from being more lax or intentionally violating the law. The other reason why the danger in this is it's bad for business if, in fact, you don't keep a level playing field between the 99.5% of the businesses in the state that do a good job and some do an excellent job in compliance with the law, and those bad actors that cut the corners, cut their cost, and then are able to outcompete with the good companies that are complying with all the state and federal regulations.
As we mentioned, the governor and other officials have said this is good news. Problems are being fixed before enforcement is needed. The DNR is working with a business to make sure they're in compliance before they get to the stage where they're being fined. Could that be the explanation for this drop in these major fines?
Well, it does not add up. As an example, just from last year, 2014 to 2015, those 2 years, which is last year's, we have records, the drop in the amount of fines was 80%. That didn't happen because of working with people over the last year or so. That is, it's incredible to believe that the efforts to work with businesses dropped serious violations by that much in the case of a year. And just so your readers know, you know, I was Secretary of DNR. I headed the Enforcement Division before then. Every state DNR secretary and their staff did the same thing. We always worked to try to reduce those violations and work with companies. But when you have a serious intentional violation or a very negligent violation, you have to assess a fine with it to prevent that type of behavior, besides getting cleanup and besides getting the company back, putting things into place to prevent pollution. Otherwise, you do not have an environmental enforcement system that will prevent increased pollution over the years. As an example, Wisconsin's waterways aren't getting cleaner anymore. They were up to a few years ago, but they aren't anymore. Many more streams are getting put on the federal list that don't meet water quality standards.
And what, George, as we start to wrap up, what would you want to hear from the state about this change in enforcement?
Well, the first thing is why it's happening. Aren't they doing the inspections? If they're not doing the inspections, obviously they're not finding as many violations. And after that, are they taking the worst of the worst violations and sending those cases to the Department of Justice? And from the Department of Justice, are they coming up with a sizable penalty that will be a deterrent to future violations?
We'll leave it there for now. George, thanks a lot for joining us today. That was George Meyer. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, talking about numbers his organization released showing a major drop in enforcement, serious enforcement of pollution violations here in Wisconsin.
Coming up, some people complain that young people aren't as engaged with politics as they used to be. But our next guest says that when you look at how young people have used the internet and new media, they're more civically engaged than you might think. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.